Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com.
Now, we were talking earlier on about how some nursing home workers are turning down the COVID vaccines, and the CEO of Nursing Homes Ireland suggesting that they will keep records of staff who have chosen not to receive the vaccination. We said they were wondering what legal issues and challenges employers may face with employees who are not willing to be vaccinated. So I'm joined now by Service and Operations Director at Employment Law Consultancy Peninsula, and that's Alan Hickey. Good morning to you, Alan.
Good morning, Fran.
And thanks very much indeed for coming on with us today. What is the legal standing on this? If a worker, let's take a nursing home, for instance, Alan, decides, no, I won't take the vaccine, can he or she be forced into that in some way?
Well, in a short answer, as things stand, no would be the answer, Fran. But it is a common question we're getting from employers. You know, will their employees be willing to take their medicine and get the vaccine? And it's a common concern for employers across all industries. And there's a real spotlight on it at the moment from this issue with the nursing home. Mm. But in summary, employees or citizens in general have a right to refuse medical treatment. And that's both a statutory right and a constitutional right. The Supreme Court has indicated in the past that right could be overridden in a national health emergency. But the government has been fairly consistent in saying this is going to be an optional vaccine. They're not going to mandate it. And to be honest, I'm not surprised they've taken that stance, because they'll no doubt end up embroiled in some sort of constitutional challenge. We already saw one last year over the lockdown measures.
Of course. And if it's a constitutional issue, of course, they'd have to go to the people on that, Alan.
Well, not necessarily. If they won't be amending the constitution, they would just be interpreting it to say we can override this right. You know, so they could introduce legislation, but that legislation would definitely, in my view, be challenged, because we already saw a challenge last year over the lockdown rule. So, in essence, employees have the right to refuse, and on that basis, the government's approach, and by extension, I would suggest the employer's approach, should be one of encouragement rather than mandating. And it's interesting that you noted there that the nursing homes are going to keep a record of people who haven't got the vaccine. We have a company called Bright HR, and we use a company called Bright HR that has a VacTrack process for keeping those records if any employer is interested in it.
Right. I was going to bring that up with you, because I would have GDPR concerns about some of that, holding that information and making it available.
Yes, so there is obviously data protection issues come up whenever you're going to keep data that might be deemed sensitive data. So medical records would normally fall under that. But what's important is that the employer identifies a legitimate basis for keeping that data and to carry out a data protection impact assessment. So, for example, you can understand why a nursing home would have a vested interest in knowing which employees have and have not got that vaccine, because it may have a direct impact on the well-being of the patient. So what's essential is that each employer does their own data protection impact assessment, but it's certainly something each employer should consider, because it has an impact on operating the workplace.
But carrying that on my file as I move from one workplace to another, that's where I would see the issue.
Well, in terms of carrying on your file, ultimately it's for each employer to identify whether or not they're going to keep that information and keep that record. And I would suggest most employers would want to. Whether that transfers from one employment to another, I would suggest that's unlikely, because employers don't share that kind of data. But it's from an employer's perspective, you can only keep that data for as long as you have a legitimate basis for keeping it. So I would suggest once the COVID-19 pandemic passes, that may be the time where you would remove that data from your files.
Post-COVID, will there be a glut of people suing each other and all sorts of stuff going on? Because I'm reading today in the newspaper as well that, you know, that people who have been affected in nursing homes, for example, where they couldn't see their loved one and they weren't given access to their loved one, that they're going to take some legal action over that. Will there be a lot of this coming up, do you think?
Unfortunately, yes, I would suggest, particularly from an employer-employee perspective. We've also already seen an employee win a constructive dismissal case because the employer hadn't given due consideration to remote working and obliged the employee to attend work, which the employee had concerns with from a COVID-19 perspective. And we've seen a challenge last year, which I've already mentioned, to the lockdown rules. So no doubt there's going to be more challenges coming up, which is partially why I think the government will be reluctant to mandate the vaccine, because it will only lead to more legal challenges. So it's interesting times. There's a Chinese curse, a fabled Chinese curse of may you live in interesting times. So we're certainly living in interesting times now.
Well, particularly when we consider where the virus came from in the first place, that's particularly ironic. but there you go. I also think, Alan, that there will be a glut of people taking issue with working from home and how that is affecting them and all sorts of things as well.
Yes, the remote working thing is something that's new to a lot of employers and a lot of employees. It was sort of growing year on year. If you even look at the census and so on over the last couple of years, it has been growing, people working remotely. However, it was foisted upon the majority of the country from March of last year. And a lot of employers weren't equipped to deal with it. And it's something that I would suggest from an employee perspective is to have a bit of forbearance, because managing employees remotely is very different from managing employees in the office. But also employers themselves need to be cognizant of that. There is different challenges that come up. So there's a lack of face-to-face supervision. There's maybe a lack of access to information for employees, a lack of support. There's social isolation. There's distractions at home that you wouldn't have in the workplace. So employers are going to need to have a think about that in terms of effectively managing their employees. And also the health and safety aspect of things is important too.
Absolutely. And when the employers then eventually want to call back in some of these individuals into the office, that could be up for challenge too.
Yes. So a number of employees might say, look, there's no reason why I can't work remotely, and therefore I want to.
And I've proven that over the last few months, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, ultimately, that will come down to, as things stand, that will come down to contractual entitlement. Ultimately, the employer may have, the contract may specify that the employee must work at the employer's office or site or whatever. And look, if that's what the contract says, that's what will have to happen. But it's important to note, though, that the government has clearly indicated its intention to introduce a right to request remote working. And that would be a statutory right to request it. And once that statutory right comes in, the employer is going to have more than just saying, well, your contract of employment says you must. You will have to have additional reasons to back up why that's necessary. So employers should definitely keep an eye on the right to request remote working. I would expect that to come in this year.
Very good. And just to refer to our initial conversation, you're saying to me that employees cannot be forced to have this vaccination.
In short, yes. What would happen to, I suppose the key thing from my perspective is an employer has to maintain a safe working environment and to do what is reasonably practicable to ensure the environment is safe. Now, as things stand, employers have no control over the vaccine. So it's not something that an employer would therefore be obliged to mandate because they have no control over it. But it remains to be seen what happens when the vaccine becomes more widely available. If employers do get a bit more control in that situation, I would also suggest that if the vaccine is shown as blocking transmission of the virus, now that remains to be seen, but if it's proven to block transmission of the virus, it may be the case then that the employer has a stronger standing to require their employees to take it, because it will therefore block transmission at work.
Right.
But until that's evidenced, as things stand, there's very, very thin ground for employers who mandate.
And just briefly, if you would, Alan, because I'm running towards news, but a couple of the nursing homes in Dublin organising raffles and cash prizes as part of an effort to sort of encourage staff to get vaccinated. Do you see anything in that might be sort of challengeable, if that's a word?
Well, not necessarily. I do think, I did mention at the start, the focus of the government is on encouragement. And I would suggest the same thing is on employers, is to encourage. So employers can consider novel methods of encouraging their employees to get the vaccine. And you could consider things like giving employees paid time off to get the vaccine rather than making them get it outside of working hours. You could encourage your staff to take it and to give them paid time off to take it and lead by example as an organization. You know, your directors, your business owners, we're going to get it. We're getting it on this date, and we would encourage you to get it too. So lead by example in your businesses as well.
Most interesting. Thank you so much for your time, Alan. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Good morning to you. And that's Alan Hickey there, who is with the consultancy employment law firm Peninsula. News is on the way.
Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Subaru dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.